Welcome to Slug's bi-weekly Slug Soundwaves podcast. Here, in our print mag and on slugmag.com, enjoy our curated content that highlights the best of Utah's alternative and underrepresented music, arts, events, and community subcultures. If Slug has benefited you or someone you love, consider contributing to sustain our existence. Head to slugmag.com/donate to join our community of donors.
KRCL was founded in 1979 to bring a more diverse voice to Salt Lake City and surrounding areas. KRCL is community funded and supported, which allows diverse commercial free programming that varies from indie to hip hop, blues to bluegrass, metal, punk, indigenous, and bilingual programs. Every weekday at 6 p.m., KRCL's Radioactive brings you grassroots activism and civic engagement with punk rock farming and live local music on Fridays. Tune in to KRCL at 90.9 FM. Stream at krcl.org or download the app on the App Store.
Shh, are you listening? This is Slug Soundwaves. Don't you miss when we were friends? Politics was just pretend.
But now we're too old for school and we think. Hey, this is Josh Thomas. I play guitar in Carnal Bloom.
I'm Joey, I'm the singer.
I'm Jake, and I'm the bassist.
And Nate is a little tied up today, but he's our drummer. And yeah, we're indie rock band Carmen Bloom from Salt Lake City.
So we definitely label ourselves as indie rock. I think we put a lot of thought and effort into kind of the atmosphere that we place our music in. So usually, I think like Cage the Elephant with some like heavy dynamic and like a little bit more of that like vibey indie atmosphere that you get maybe from like Peach Pit, stuff like that.
I would say I think we're just all avid music, just goers, listeners. We go to concerts super often, and we're always, I don't know, either just noodling or fiddling around with a song or playing a cover or something like that. So, yeah, I think we just really enjoy getting to play with each other all the time and some other projects as well outside the band, and it's hard to not want to be doing music 24/7.
When I first started learning guitar, it was always like the classic rock guys like Slash and Metallica stuff, right? Like, I think that's the typical journey for most guitarists. But then I was in like a pop punk band for 5 years, 6 years, and then found these guys. I fell in love with the indie scene. Like, I was always a Cage and like Peach Pit and like Backseat fan, stuff like that.
I didn't really have anything. I kind of just started right away with the indie scene. I think I was more like ambient indie, you know. I really liked like Beach House and like kind of those bigger just big chord bands, and then I started just falling in love with like the simple guitar riff, you know, like not needing a bajillion effects to like get your message through or like massive production. I really like that, just like simple, straightforward, kind of like Strokes kind of vibe, where it's just like right in your face, you know, just like let the music speak for itself kind of vibe. It's kind of fun.
So for me, when I was in high school, I really loved like Red Hot Chili Peppers and Primus.
Nice.
Like the big bassists, you know.
Flea, so, a little, yeah.
Yeah, like Flea, Les Claypool. I also listened to like Victor Wooten and learned some of his songs. There were some that I just couldn't learn because they were like impossible, but yeah, so kind of like grunge, like 90s era stuff. That was what I was in love with.
Um, I kind of started it without the rest of the guys. I started the band maybe like 2017, and it took about 2 years to kind of actually solidify all the people who were going to be in the band and a general direction, what everybody wanted to do, and kind of see like what type of music we all want to make together. And I feel like that's just kind of like the journey every band usually takes. Sometimes they're lucky in the first four, you know, five people they choose is like, that's who's going to stick around. But sometimes it's just, you know, not everybody's on the same page. We had a different bass player, but like, he is an amazing bass player. But again, like, I think he just had a vision of more pop punk type style. And that's, you know, why we switched out for Jacob. Me and Jacob went to high school together, and I kind of knew Jacob's style was a lot closer to mine. And then, yeah, Josh was, yeah, like a heavy rock guitar player. Nate is like a jazz drummer. But everybody, I think, found their favorite niche moment in like an indie rock type music, whether it be like Peach Pit or Cage the Elephant that were mentioned before, or like just a lot of other things going on right now. Like, I'm a really big Flip Turn fan, and they just released their album yesterday, so I haven't heard anything else but that for the last like 12 hours. But yeah, just stuff like that, where we have like a bunch of bands that we all like, but then we also all take influence from these smaller bands that maybe each one of us really likes, and then kind of hones in on their instrument to kind of make our own sound. That's not like necessarily copying a single band, but, you know, like a bunch of influences collectively influencing one single idea. 90% of the time, I've been coming around making most of the songs, or at least bringing it to the table to be expanded. But the last song that we're working on right now, I think actually Jacob kind of came up with like the whole foundation of it this time around, like the riff and like the chord progression and stuff like that. And
Nate as well.
Yeah, Nate came up with I feel like it's safe to say like Nate comes up with pretty much every single groove or every single rhythmic thing. I don't really know if any three of us bring a song, how often it is that we're kind of telling him to change what he's doing. I feel like he kind of nails it on the head most of the time. There's like small instances that we'd ask him like, dude, it'd be cool if you did this. But yeah, I think I usually come, if we're talking like lyrics and melodies, it's almost always me. There's definitely times where one of the other guys might say like, oh, you should say this instead, or you should sing this instead. But when it comes to like chords or guitar melodies or even bass melodies and stuff, I feel like it's kind of almost always shared between the three of us. We almost just like pass it through like a, I don't know, just like a safety check of like, do you think this is cool? And it's like, yeah. What are you going to play on top of it? If I'm going to play this, you should try and play this on top of it. And I think we've gotten to a point in our playing that we've been able to just kind of say like, can you just play this so I can hear it? Instead of being like, I don't want you to play what you're already playing. And almost kind of know right away that like, if you're going to ask somebody to play something, you should know that what you have in your head could totally suck, and you should just be okay with that. Mm-hmm. And maybe what they're already playing is the best thing. And I think as a player getting asked to play something, we've also grown accustomed to like, maybe what I came up with isn't the best thing, and maybe somebody else has a better, you know, solution to fit the song. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of how we make it very collective. And like, even if somebody does bring a song to the table, it's really like, it's never authoritarian. Like, you're going to play this, you're going to play this, you're going to play this. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You know, you just do it. It's like never been that. So
lately I felt so much better than I did today. Crazy why let the little things get in the way. I found you all among the clouds with your head in the ground. Who knew there's more than up and down? Just look around.
It took us about 3 years collectively to write it and record it and do everything. And the cool thing with that is the whole album, it's not necessarily like a, like it's not an album with like a story all the way through, a concept album, but there is like a general theme throughout all of it. And that theme is mostly just about nostalgia and reflection. And within itself, because of how long it took for us to write it and kind of get to that point where we could put out a full album, you can kind of hear that in the album itself, is that you hear songs that we recorded 3 years ago versus like the more recent ones and how we've shifted as a band throughout that. So it's really fun, and it's sometimes frustrating to listen back because it's been 3 years. I'm like, oh, I could do something so much better like now, but there's still like that charm of like, now this is like a nice time stamp of where we were at and where I was at in our writing processes and playing. But yeah, we put that out in September of 2024. And then, yeah, I think we're really proud of it. And it felt like kind of like that next big step that we had to take in progressing as a band. So yeah, that was like my biggest like takeaway from it.
Yeah. I feel like, unlike the other side of things, one of the reasons it took us so long to record it was actually, I think originally it had to do with, we loved the quality that June Audio in Provo has, and it was hard for us to, I guess, almost sacrifice what we know a song could be if we went somewhere else, and because of just how good their sessions are there. And funny enough, I feel like that alone, just that decision to really stick with them through a whole album, shaped the whole album because of how long it took for us to be able to afford to do that, that we grew as songwriters over like 2.5-3 years. And that's why I feel like that album sounds more of like a collection of maybe like time, instead of like a central theme. I feel like that's why our theme on that was very easily determined to be like nostalgia, is because we were like kind of looking back over years of writing all of these songs and then like relating that to childhood memories and stuff like that, and being able to kind of push all of that together in a short amount of time, I feel like, I don't know, made the project very interesting. And what kind of feels different than all the other singles or EPs we've done, because I feel like we capture that as like one blip in time or something like that, or like a picture, but this felt more of like a rolling hill of a couple years of like everything's kind of starting to relate to this 3-4 year time span that we've been in. For the next couple singles, try testing out our basement setup, our recording setup. We kind of invested a lot into a digital mixer for our in-ears that is like a 32 channel mixer, and it's been really nice. It's like a very decent recording interface for us too, that we've been using for demos. And Jacob has a lot of expertise because Jacob works at a recording studio himself from time to time, and so he's got a lot of expertise in mixing and mastering and doing all those things. So we might, you know, just record in our basement, send it to Jacob, and kind of see if that best version he does is something comparable to like what we already have out. And there's been a demo or two where it was like, dang, this is really close, and he didn't even really spend a lot of time, you know, on it. So I think with a lot of effort and time, and you might see our songs become more like creative because of less of a time limit or a time stop of we got to get this done in a certain amount of time. We can spend extra on just like experimenting and trying different things and making sure every note is the right note, kind of vibe. So yeah, the next couple singles might be actually just done out of our basement, or somewhere. We might record at June and have Jacob mix. We might have Jacob record us and have June Audio mix it. So there's also plenty of different options out there, but we just want kind of the best quality we can get always. So
yeah, we always start with like a base of us doing it all live. I feel like that's what gives it its most organic sound. There's a natural like pull and push, and like we're all working together, so like that moment gets bigger, it gets smaller. And I feel like when we've tried single tracking in the past, and I don't know, it's hard to groove with a drummer that's not actively playing right there. And maybe I'm not good at it. But I don't know, I like the experience of us like doing it together and the camaraderie of it. It just feels natural. But then we'll always layer like additional guitar vocals after, like an actual good take, and you know, take the best out of each one. Guitar solos, all the other elements we'll layer, but there's always a foundation of the four of us.
Should I come over? Do you think that you really know her? On and on and on, you play the same old song. Keep moving along, just moving along. Can't stay if I'm just visiting.
Thought right now to like say this, because I feel like every band says this. I feel like we've said this every single year, but we kind of feel like this is like our year to grow probably more than we ever have. And Block Party is definitely one of those bigger things for us this year to like kind of put us on a higher pedestal of being able to be seen by places outside of Salt Lake City and outside of Utah, because of how much notoriety Kilby Block Party's festival has gotten over the past couple years. It is not easy to get onto. I feel like we've tried for the last 3 or 4 years of asking friends who work there. Like, literally, it's such a close knit. You have to kind of earn that way to that spot. It's not easily given. So we're very fortunate and very lucky to be on it this year. And we have some other shows. We're doing Tree Fort Music Festival in Boise, which is in March. We're going on like a little northeast run early March, from Maryland, kind of like DC area all the way up to New York, and just kind of hitting like Philly area, Delaware, all those kind of places. And then, we're hoping to hit Detroit, maybe on the way back, or Chicago or something like that. And then, in April, we're going to be in Southeast as well. Going to New Orleans and Texas, hopefully, and just a couple of these other spots, like Charlotte, North Carolina, and stuff. So a lot of places we've never been. and we're kind of, we're just really fortunate to be given these opportunities. And, like, if you said 3 years ago you guys would play a show in New York, I'd be like, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. And now we're playing our second one. And getting to play at the same venue again, which is really nice. It's always good when the venue wants you back, because that makes you feel good about the last show you did. So, mm-hmm. Just being able to play a lot of these festivals that have some notoriety around the name, and then getting just to kind of hit every corner of the country is really cool. I know a lot of us haven't been to some of the places that we're going this year. I've never been to Washington, D.C. I know Josh has, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't think any of us have been to Delaware. No. Atlanta. And North Carolina, a lot of these places that seem really cool that we'll just probably never would have hit if you never would have gone to if we weren't in a rock band and getting opportunities to go play out there. So, mm-hmm. We're really excited. Snow falls oh so slowly. Emma's where she wants to go. So we got a lot of the shows lined up. A lot of the bigger things, I think, were having the connections to do that, such as Kilby Block Party. Not necessarily like we had a connection to get us in, but like they wouldn't have chosen us to be on it if they didn't know who we were. And I think that was just by playing Kilby Court so many times, playing Velour, playing Soundwell, and playing a lot of these venues that SNS books for. We were kind of lucky to kind of just be in their face all the time. So when they do start thinking of locals, they're like, oh yeah, this band has been playing so much in the area and growing, and we want to have them on this festival. And I think just the more we play, the more time passes that our songs can get in front of some people's ears on Spotify, the more opportunities kind of arise, and the more people either DM us on Instagram of saying like, hey, I'd love to play a show with you guys if you come to Charlotte, North Carolina. Or we had a band that kind of set up the whole Northeast run that we're doing, and they just wanted to play with us. And so some of it is some cold call emails, and we're just, you know, going through the loops of like, hey, we'd love to come, you know, to this city. We have a lot of fans asking us to come here, and sometimes, well, probably more than sometimes, about 9 out of 10 times, they just don't even get back to you, and they just leave you on that, you know, on that dry email run that you're really trying to get going. But sometimes they get back to you, and I will say there's a little bit of spite but also motivation in not getting some of these emails back, is when you do get that gig in that city, we feel so much more inclined to try to get our best turnout, play our best show, you know, really grow our fan base in that area. Now to be like, you know, this is what we could do in these places, and, you know, hoping, you know, some people will get back to us a little easier next time. But I totally understand. I've done a lot of research the past like 2-3 weeks, just about how many tours and bands there are out there. And it's weird being in a music community and you think it's like so tight knit, and yeah, wow, there's tens of thousands of people just like us all over the country doing the exact same thing at the exact same time. So yeah, I definitely don't blame any venue for, yeah, just not getting back to us, because I'm sure their spam is just full of people like us. So
yeah, I'd say waste your time, just because with that song, we started working with management around that time, and they've been extremely helpful in helping us like kind of put the album together. And that was our first release of 2024, and that was kind of the start of this whole plan to release an album, record it, put it out, play our biggest local like venue headlining show. And so that was kind of the song that kickstarted everything going into it. So, and it's doing really well right now. It's kind of gotten a second round of attention. So we're really proud of that song. And I remember when we were recording it, we were like, yeah, this is our best song we've written thus far. And I don't know if that's still the opinion. I think we've all changed that, but I still think like that's a really good like staple song for kind of what the whole conversation's been about. You're about to hear Waste Your Time from Cardinal Bloom from our debut album, The Only Place I've Ever Known.
Outside.
can find us on Instagram at Cardinal Bloom Official. You could also find us on TikTok, but I mean, that's up to you. And if you can, when you end up listening to this 6 months from now, if that's still a thing. And yeah, on Spotify, just Cardinal Bloom, Apple Music, all the streaming platforms, YouTube as well. We're going to start posting more on some YouTube covers and whatnot. So yeah, find us kind of anywhere you listen to music. Come see us February 13th at the Depot. And then as well, March 21st and 22nd in Provo at Valor. Doing 2 days in a row back to back with one of our favorite buddies, Sago. And if you're not too far away, you can come to Colorado February 21st and 22nd. We'll be in Denver.
If you enjoyed this episode on Soundwaves, please take 60 seconds to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
This episode was produced and edited by me, Nate McQuivy, coordinated by William Hughes, and promoted by the Slug Magazine editorial staff. Be sure to check out this month's issue of Slug. You can find a copy anyplace cool or at slugmag.com.
Did you enjoy this episode of Slug Soundwaves? You and the local community can continue to enjoy Slug Mag's content for free, but please consider making a one-time or ongoing contribution. Each contribution, no matter the amount, helps support Slug's creation of thoughtful media coverage on SLC's music, arts, events, and community subcultures. Head over to slugmag.com/donate to make your contribution today.